Hello, everybody. Welcome to Motherhood Relabeled, your weekly dose of making yourself and your own goals a priority.
This is actually a non-parenting podcast for all parents who don't want to be held back by the parenthood label. We believe that parenthood is part of us, but not the only thing that defines us.
We chat about all things juggling motherhood, business, and family life by pushing ourselves out of our comfort zones to pursue our own goals and hopefully inspire you to do the same.
It's a sort of therapy tool too, to help us and hopefully you become the best version of ourselves and therefore the best possible parent, partner, and friend. So let's dive right into this week's episode. Well, hello, Vanessa.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Well, we took a break last week, everyone. It was just, you know, all too much. We were so busy, so we just couldn't fit it in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to apologize in advance for my manly sounding voice tonight. So please bear with me. And hopefully not too many coughs and sneezes in between.
That's the winter season. Germs everywhere, sickness.
Absolutely.
Even though I want to touch wood, but like, Theo hasn't been sick in 4 or 5 weeks. Oh, I really shouldn't be saying that. But you know, since you recommended the vitamins.
Oh, good. Maybe it must help.
See, like I said to Clement, Pentavite, exactly. I'm not sure if it's a coincidence or not. Yeah. I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
In my head, it's working. I'm like, keep going, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, no.
Good to hear.
He's had a good run, so let's see how long that lasts. Oh, but I'm getting nervous because we've got 1 month left to Europe.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm
just that's exciting.
Like, it's exciting, but now I'm like, oh, last week before we go, maybe I should leave him out of daycare.
Just so he doesn't get sick.
Yeah. Like, you never know, you know.
Because it won't be very pleasant. But, look, I don't know. Oh, what can you do?
That's right. I figured, you know, now that they're, like, he's a bit older, he's more resilient.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
Not as fragile as he used to be when
he was
tiny. It'll be
interesting to, like, be traveling this time compared to last time. Because he was like a baby and he just slept pretty much the whole time, right?
He did. And
he might be different this time.
Very different. So today I bought heaps of stuff on Amazon.
Perfect.
Like little toys, like spinning toys.
Awesome.
Like a busy book.
Yeah, busy books are great.
But like one where he hopefully really stays busy, like one of those Montessori
ones.
Awesome. So hopefully
and
that will work.
And take them out, like, not all at once.
Yeah,
like
that's
just
right.
Introduce a cup, you know, 100%. One every whatever, however exactly. Many hours you've got to go.
20 plain hours. And another thing I bought is like a sticker book. So like, you know, with those thicker, like reusable foamy stickers.
Perfect.
So hopefully that will, because that he can stick, you know, at the back of the seat or whatever.
Clever.
Like,
because he's not really at the age where he could watch a screen necessarily.
No. And well, I'm still going to download a few Miss Rachel's on my phone so I can use that without Wi-Fi.
Definitely.
That's also part of my strategy.
Perfect. Yeah, that's good.
But other, like, for instance, the movies on the plane, he wouldn't really watch.
No, he wouldn't be interested. And also for the sound, it's going to be tricky to put it on his ears, I imagine. But
I'm going to take some earmuffs as well this time because you might, you know.
Oh, yes, it's true, the blockage.
Might be,
it's not fun.
The only other thing I'm a little bit concerned about is the food situation because I haven't booked him a seat, right, because he's under two. So you're not actually getting any foods for him.
Okay, that's interesting.
And
never really thought about that.
Which isn't necessarily a problem because I would happily bring stuff. It's just what can I bring through security, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like what can you and can't you bring? So I think I must do a bit more research
on
that.
I'm sure any of those pouches you can bring.
Just like in 24 hours, he probably would want some other things.
Other things other than that.
Maybe like biscuits, and maybe I can still also share some
I'm sure you could get
food
of
that
yours.
I eat. Yeah.
I feel like you could probably ask for a kid's meal.
Yeah.
He'd probably eat your own food.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
Like you cut it up, tender meat or, you know,
totally.
There's veggies. I'm pretty sure. And they have multiple.
He'll appreciate much more my cooking after he's had a taste.
Absolutely.
With some plain food.
I know. Yeah, he won't like the plain food, no doubt. But anyway, I'm sure, you never know. He might like it because it's something different.
So. Yeah, no, that's true. Well, that's what I've been up to and many more things. What about you? What's the highlight from your last week?
Well, actually, Joel and I got to have a date night, which was fun and a little different. So he asked his mum to come and mine Toby, which is great. And there was a comedy night down at our local pub. And Aj Barker, who's an American comedian, almost that, you know, Australians will claim him mm-hmm. anyway, but super funny. And it was just so good to have a laugh.
Was it good?
So really good, so funny. And they'll support acts as well. But I kind of can't recommend going to comedy at least once a month for everybody. Like, to have a laugh.
Mental health, like protocol.
Like, you really feel so good after having a laugh. Like, it's really great. Oh, great for your health.
Really, really good recommendation.
Yeah. Booking. And we're like so lucky we live.
Monthly?
Well, like, apparently it is at the Coogee Bay Hotel.
Oh, my God. We should do a combined dates night next time.
So, yeah, I have to look into it, but this particular guy was like a once off because he's quite a big act. But I'm pretty sure I heard them say that they do it, you know, regularly. Yeah. So so I'd definitely look into it again, especially because it's just down the road. Oh, like, it's so easy.
Do they do trivia as well, stuff like that? Because that could be a fun date night activity too.
Totally. We do love trivia. We've been to a few trivia pubs.
I'm so bad at trivia.
I do love it, but I'm not great. I can't say I'm that great at it. Like, you know, and obviously Joel's very good at the sports side of things.
Of course.
You know, I can do music.
Clement is excellent at music. He knows every name of every song and artist.
Like, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a real good skill, like, you know. It is. And it's cool when you've got a group of people who have different skills, different specialties. Yeah, yeah, different specialties. So that was but, yeah, like, the comedy thing was heaps of fun. And then it was Joel's birthday on Friday night, and we just all went out to dinner and had a surprise. Not a surprise, but we invited his brother and kids to come as well.
Was he happy about it?
Yeah, we went to a cool little place at in Forest Lodge or Glebe called the Tram Sheds. And I sort of booked it partly because there's like a full size tram in the restaurant.
So that would keep the kids busy.
Yeah, entertained. But like, it was slightly closed, but I did ask the owner if we could go in and have a look, and he let us in. Mm. So, you know, Toby and the little Austin, who's our nephew, he got to have a little go as well. So, yeah, it was great. Cool. Like, food's okay. Like, you know, if I had to recommend it. But yeah, it was just like more of the ease of a place to go and park. And
Yeah.
It was really good.
It's always a struggle, isn't it?
And Gelato Messina was like next door.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I always end up, like, when I go out for dinner, like in Surrey Hills or whatever, like, I always end up at Messina for dessert.
It's like, yeah, you either get the dessert at the restaurant or you, like, hold on and go to Messina.
We always do the same. We're like, let's have a look at the dessert menu. Messina.
It's true. I know. So, but no, it was an all-round good week, and then took Toby to the zoo on Sunday, and that was good fun.
Oh, cool.
You know, in my mind, I'm a zoo friend, so I have, like, the, you know, the membership, and so for the year, you know, you can have free entry for an adult and a child, and I really don't use it enough. And it was just, it was great, and I just, in my mind going, I thought, we're just going to go and see a couple of animals and not, like, have to worry about feeling like you've got to see everything.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, that's true, because you don't technically pay for the tickets, or you don't feel this immense pressure.
You don't feel bad about missing out on certain animals. But I feel like next time we'll go, we'll see. We didn't get to see really any of the watery animals, like the seals and the dolphins. And
it gives you a reason to go back.
Yeah, so I feel like, we can definitely do that another trip. But, you know, we saw the tigers, and I did ask Toby at the end of the day, like, what was your favourite part? And he said, the motorbike. There was like this random old motorbike that was like, it's like, you know, a stationary thing, like, you know, because they make it look like when you go and see the tigers, like it's like Sumatra. And so, like, it's all, you know, kind of corrugated iron, and there's all, like, it's really done quite beautifully and authentically, and he was just in love with that. And I was so obsessed with the tiger, and the tigers, they're so beautiful.
I know.
And they kept running off, they come so close, and that was about time for them to eat.
Yeah.
And so they were pacing and roaring at each other. It was just mind-blowing, and Toby was at this, you know, dingy little motorbike that he was obsessed with and kept running off. And I was like half looking at him and half looking at the tigers. But anyway, it was a great day and just fun. And now it's more fun, obviously, now that he understands.
Totally.
You know,
everything
where he goes.
Just becomes much more like interesting, right? Because Absolutely. You can do many more things together.
Yeah. So
cool.
So that was, you know, partly all the fill my cups for this week.
Oh, that's beautiful. And so Toby has changed his daycare, right?
Yeah, so he has. He's upgraded to the 2 to 3 year olds, and he's doing pretty well. He We actually have had a bit of a breakthrough this week. We have managed to ask the dummy fairy to come and take his dummy.
No way!
And give it to the babies for that cry. So,
bless him.
So that's
such
been
a great idea.
I know. And so we just thought, you know, it was time. Like, he's too and
attached,
you know, he's so attached to it. And, you know, we were literally on our last dummy and I thought, this is it. After
I'm
this dummy, I'm not buying anymore.
Yeah.
And they just go so crusty after like a while. Like, you just start seeing like grow things and I'm like, oh gross, this is disgusting. So I just chuck them. So we're on our last one. And we'd gone and stayed at my mum's like on the weekend and we couldn't find it. And so he had to go to bed without it. And then I just sort of made up this story that the dummy fairy must have come to take it. And, you know, he
so
cried for
sad.
A little bit, but then he was like, oh, okay, fine. And I said, you know, the babies that we see that cry, like, you know, they need the dummy.
Yeah.
So you're a big boy now. And so now he just, you know, it does take a bit longer for him to get to sleep, but that's not unusual anyway because he likes to fuss around. But, he doesn't ask for it at all.
That's crazy.
Every now and then he might remember.
He uses, but like gets used to it.
Yeah. It didn't take long. So I was super surprised.
See, something you dreaded so much, right? Like, I mean, you handled it really well. Like, that was quite smart. But, you know, I feel like sometimes in our head we make it, you know, such a big deal when, see how adaptable they are.
They really are. Like it's all in your head. And,
it's all
you know,
in our
because you feel
no,
bad.
Not all in our head.
Well,
but, you know, I think, it's also understandable. Like, we care for them. Like, we want
to. Yeah, you want
you
them
know,
to feel comfortable and have the
and
things
you know
that
that's
are important
comfort
to them.
For them.
Yeah.
So, you know, in your head, you're like, oh, how can I take it away from them?
Exactly. But you know, and it's just going to ruin his teeth, like, in the long term. Like, they say, like, once it gets to 3 years old, you know, and I can already start seeing, like, the forming of his teeth moving forward because of it.
Oh.
So it's not great. So hopefully they'll, you know, fix themselves up from now on.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's
thanks.
Big achievement.
That's a big deal.
So
I know.
So proud of Toby.
Me too. I'm so proud of him. Like, I just, you know, we'd never thought that he'd
that
ever give this dummy
easy.
Up. Because there were times that we'd have like three dummies, two in each hand, one in the mouth, sometimes two in the mouth. You know, so it was just like, well, how are we ever going to get rid of this thing?
Oh my God. That's
so,
cool.
That was cool.
Awesome.
Anyway, sorry. I know we've had a long intro.
I feel like, you know, we had a lot to catch up on since we missed last week. So that's all right. So this week we have a little bit of a special episode. We thought since we're working on, so Tanya's helping me with the branding of my new business, which is super exciting. And she's doing
exciting.
A fabulous job. Like, I'm absolutely loving everything she's putting together, like so much thought and detail.
And so nice.
Anyway, so we thought, you know, some of our listeners might actually be either in the process of launching their own business or wanting or maybe thinking about launching their business in the future. So we thought, why not take time and actually reflect on, you know, the process that Tanya goes through when she, when she works on the branding and it's, you know, what she does in her business. So we thought that could be helpful
Very
to understand,
to take you
know,
through.
What makes a successful brand.
Yeah, well, it's a good question. And I think, you know, people do branding very differently. But essentially, you know, there are a key few things that make a good brand. And I think you're in the business of brand strategy, so you appreciate that sort of thing. But, you know, I guess to start, you know, what is it that – and why is branding important?
Yeah.
I think that's the question to ask. And I think the thing is it gives you a point of difference. It's what sets you apart from your competitors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like your front door. You know, to your brand, it enables you to build emotional connections with your audience, you know, and, you know, that way that they connect with you on a deeper level. So that's really important. And that would be either with, you know, your people, like even that your employees, when you are big enough to have employees, you know, your customers, your clients. So it's really just how to connect, you know, with brand. But also, you know, you do gain that recognition and trust from your customers, with loyalty as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, overall it is your badge. It is your face. You know, it's what is, people
recognize
you for. And associate when they see a particular logo, a color, a font, you know, all these elements that make up a brand. So, you know, branding is important essentially because it is making it is your point of difference.
Totally. And know? I think, and your identity, you know, as a company, 100%. I guess, but also what I find so fascinating about branding as well, and that, you know, when we go deeper into the level of like your work, which obviously is more in the brand design, brand identity space, what I find fascinating is just even like theory of colors, you know, like certain colors like have a special meaning or evoke a special emotion.
They
like, and you know, like there's certain businesses or certain industries even like that. That's why, you know, when we work or the work we do for our clients, like a big part of it is looking at competitors. And you often find that in categories, like there's a dominant color.
Definitely. Food.
For a reason. Yeah. Yeah, that's
food,
right.
Red, orange, red, yellow, always
because
hunger
it's
cues.
Hunger cues, right?
That's right.
That's why Hungry Jack and McDonald's, like it's all the
that's
reds.
Right. They don't often have blue because blue's not really a hunger, you know, color at all.
Yeah.
It's associated with, you know, bad mold and, you know, things like that. So you never eat on a, excuse me, a blue plate, you know, sort of thing. Yeah. So there's all sorts of color theories.
I love that. Like, that's what I find really, really interesting. And I think, you know, to your point as well, like brand strategy is obviously, it's kind of like it defines your vision and mission and goals and values.
Yes.
But then I think, you know, what you obviously specialize in is like more of the, I guess, the front door.
Bringing
I like that analogy.
Yeah, visual. Bring it to life. Exactly.
Visual
identity. The visual identity.
Yeah.
Because there's also the verbal identity, and that's also how you sound and your tone of voice.
Yeah.
But
which you also,
which we do,
which
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Do. Like, I love your words.
Oh.
Like, oh my god,
words are super important.
It is so true, and I feel like, you know, both when words and visuals come together, that's where the
Definitely.
True magic happens.
Definitely.
And it's so interesting because I feel like I do this for my clients all the time, but when it comes to my own business, and I think you mentioned that before as well, like when you have to do it for your business, you're just like
it's
there
hard.
With a blank page
you
and you're like,
don't know where
I cannot write it.
Where do
Even
I
though
start?
You have it clear in your, like, you have it clear in your head, but it's just like the words are not flowing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I brief you on it and you come back with this beautifully written manifesto. I was like,
that was fun.
That's it. It's like, that's
and when it connects and it resonates, you're like, and it makes, gives you goosebumps, you know, that, you know, you're onto something.
Yeah.
So it's, I love writing manifestos. It's just a way to bring all the meaning and everything about your brand into one nicely written piece.
Yeah. It's like a bio, like a personal, but, you know, beautifully written, I guess. Like,
No, absolutely. So I guess, you know, to get into the key brand elements, you know, for effective branding, you know, as we talked about the brand strategy, that's, that includes developing your why. And we've talked about this before. It's your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, what gets you up every morning. Why do you do what you do? And we do a fun exercise. Actually, we did it for Vanessa's brand. and to reach your why, we kind of do this thing that uses it's kind of like called a bit, it's the five whys. So you basically, you know, explain, you know, the business that you're in and you keep asking, why is it important? Why is it important? Why is it important? Five times until you kind of boil it
right down
to the fundamental reason why, you know, that it is important.
That is so true because I feel like sometimes, you know, we think that we know why, like, and you say it, but there's so many underlying reasons that, you know, by constantly asking why you really unveil the true
reason. So, I mean, it's a fun exercise to do. Mm. So if you already have a brand, you know, I recommend giving it a go because it is quite cool.
Because it might change your vision.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, and you'd already had a go at your vision and mission. So your vision is obviously what it is and what you're trying to achieve. You know, what's the future goal? The mission is how you're going to get there.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you know, you've got your values. Which are a set of values and they're obviously aligned to you and your own personality as well. You know, your brand personality is another thing and that helps define your tone of voice and how you speak as a brand.
Yeah.
So that's all part of, you know, the brand platform is what we call, and that's the brand strategy. And also within a brand, we also come up with a brand idea and, you know, people call it different things, but, you know, we used to call it at the agency that I used to work at a single organizing idea.
Mm.
And it does exactly what it says. It organizes. So it helps an organization organize their business with this one single thought, and it helps them, you know, from hiring staff mm-hmm. to making decisions, you know, if everything's based on this one idea. For example, Apple used to be, I'm not sure if they've updated it, but it always used to be think different.
Yeah.
So everything that they do in their business
yeah.
thinks differently.
It's so like, is that like a tagline? It's like
it can be sometimes a tagline, but it's sometimes, and it's, you know, some people do use it as a tagline,
yeah.
but sometimes it's just more of an internal message.
Yeah.
And it can be, you know, externally kind of
expressed
yeah. differently.
Yeah.
You know, BP used to stand for Beyond Petroleum. So everything they do is beyond petroleum. Like, you know, they're doing things for sustainability and yeah. all that sort of stuff. You know, Airbnb is a cool one. I love Airbnbs, and that is a current one, and it's Belong Anywhere.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
And it's just so, it makes so much sense, and it's true to what they stand for. So, yeah, essentially it's
Nike
like,
Just Do It. I mean, yeah, that's a exactly. tagline, I guess. Like, yeah, to your
but
point, it's not always a tagline.
It's not,
it's
yeah,
like,
it can be.
It can be.
But it's a brand idea. And yeah. sometimes brand ideas do change, which is why I'm unsure of, you know, if Apple's is still think different. I'm sure there are underlying, you know, messages to that, because they've always want to be pioneering and innovative and yeah. all that sort of stuff. But yeah, you know, even BMW used to be driving excellence. So everything
yeah,
they do
yeah,
is all
yeah,
about that.
Leading up. And the values, I think it all leads up to that, right? To that
yeah,
idea that
exactly.
undermines everything.
Exactly right. So, you know, it really is this whole puzzle piece of elements that come together to form this platform or blueprint, whatever people have different names for it.
Yeah.
And then there's the brand identity itself. And that's, you know, both visual and verbal. And they represent your brand. And that includes, you know, what's your logo? And, you know, people used to come to us and go, we just want a really great logo. And we're like, well, look, we don't do just really great logos. We do brand identity, you know, and a brand identity consists of a logo.
Yeah.
That's one part of your brand.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a color
one
palette.
One piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, one piece of the puzzle. You've got a color palette. You've got, you know, typography. And what is, you know, what's your approach to color and fonts. You know, what do your fonts say about you? What does color say about you? You know, what illustrations do you use, if any? What iconography do you use? You know,
photography style.
Like, because there's, you know, you can easily get into a same sort of style of photography. What does your photography say about you, and what's unique to it that you can build into your brand? And you know, there's so much out there with photography, and you know, maybe, you know, it's way things are photographed, or for your, you know, project, how will we, you know, shoot the products, you know, that you will sell. You know, and what does that say about your brand when we do that? You know, and I think it's just really creating a style like that people then recognize as part of your brand. You know, whether it's, you know, photographing people, kids, for example, on bright colors, which was actually an option, you know, like, or colors of your brand, like, you know, it's the world's our oyster,
totally.
But it's just having that consistency, and that's super key, to creating a brand and a brand identity. And then we get into key messaging. So, you know, developing that brand story, you know, that narrative and, you know, even your elevator pitch, like, you know, how do you explain what you do in a very short sentence? You know, it's really hard for most people.
100%.
You know?
I think it is.
Like, it's unless you really are super clear, like, because you want to get so much into that sort of elevator pitch. Like,
well, it's really also tricky. Like most businesses, they have that bigger vision, or it's not as simple as just that this one specific product that can be described in one sentence. It's
exactly.
often much more complicated than
that's
that.
That's right.
So,
and you feel like you want to tell them everything, but, you know, you've only got a short amount of time in an elevator to tell somebody,
it's almost
right?
like thinking, you know, what would you tell the investor that you know?
Exactly. Absolutely.
No, I get it.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so look, you know, key messaging is super important, and that, you know, and that it may include your tagline and your value propositions as well. And then, you know, it's not just branding's not just about the visual and elements and messaging. It also extends to the overall experience that you have with your customers and your people.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So from, you know, what are those touch points? What are those interactions?
Yeah.
And, you know,
see you somewhere.
On a website, you know, what's your customer service like, you know, to product packaging, to retail environments or whatever it might be. You know, what's your Instagram? What's your
communication like correspondence
style?
Yeah,
absolutely. Mm. So, you know, what this all boils down to is, as well as consistency and delivering a positive brand experience, will, you know, will always help build trust and loyalty and advocacy with your customers and clients and people. So, you know, and then we get into the documentation of that sort of stuff, and that gets into guidelines and templates and all the fun stuff, all the nitty gritty.
Which I believe, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but the bigger the corporation, the more
intense the guidelines are. And look, you know, we've had our fair share of intense guidelines where, you know, we've created them, we've, you know, broken them. But, you know, they don't have to be really big and arduous and, you know, long. And I just feel like nobody reads anymore. No one has time. So showing, you know, the way that a brand could work with a few rules is all people really want, like more 100%. Of a style guide versus a guideline.
Yeah. Well, that's actually funny because I'm like, you know, I look at what you created for me and I'm like, oh my God, I hope I'm not going to butcher the brand.
No,
like,
you know, definitely not. You have an appreciation
for website. To your point, I think like a few guidelines actually, you know, like do's and don'ts.
You know, it's all work in progress, like, you know, so it's... And there are so many templates and things out there, and more people, you know, are building things in Canva and, you know, use those templates and tools. And I think we've talked about this is like, you know, the Squarespaces just to start, to get a feel for what the brand could look like, you know, use those, you know, the what you see is what you get, WYSIWYG, you know, kind of things out there so that way you can cut to the chase quicker.
Totally, 100%. And you can always optimize, right?
Yeah, like it's absolutely. And when you need to come somewhere. Back to a designer, like, you know, because, you know, everyone's very mindful of budget and stuff, you know, these days. So, you know, whatever you can do yourself at the same time, I do say outsource whatever you can don't like doing or can outsource, you know.
That's
so
true.
That's the other thing. So it's just that fine line.
Fine line.
But, yeah, look, you know, this is all part of, you know, a brand and building a brand and startups is just getting it out there.
100%. Well, interesting with the Canva as well, because I actually haven't really used Canva much myself. Like I'm an Adobe girl.
Yeah, same.
And I just always feel like...
it's cheating.
It's cheating, but it probably can't live up to the Adobe. But then I'm not so sure anymore because I keep seeing like how much it has progressed.
It
and
has
I'm like,
potential.
I'm tempted
and
to check
more
it
and
out.
More people. Like, I mean, the own like, you know, I guess to date, people who are non-designers would design things in PowerPoint. So any
Fair
program that we have access to that people can, you know, use to make their life easier is better than PowerPoint.
Yeah.
PowerPoint and Word, you know, all those, you know.
Not design platforms.
They're not design platforms. No. But, you know, because people, that's all people know to use and that's what they do. But Canva has, it is actually really intuitive. I've played around in Canva for a client and just really setting up their brand elements within it.
So they could then update.
Yeah. So
assets themselves.
Exactly. So I've uploaded, you know, their color palette, their logo. Yeah. So it's, and once those elements are in there, they can keep creating stuff, you know, from Instagram tiles to animations.
The good thing is it's all that's fascinating,
like,
with the animations
pretty cool.
and stuff.
Like,
and also,
I think,
like, it's all pre-cut. Like, you don't have to resize or anything. You have less...
Yes.
Freedom, I guess, because it's more like prescriptive, but at the same time, it gives you exactly what you need based on the channel you're creating for, right?
I am finding that it doesn't, I think people then struggle with the consistency, however, because you have this like world of all these extra design elements and things that might not necessarily be part of your brand.
Okay.
And I feel like they creep into the branding, which, you know, it's each to their own and how they want to interpret it. But, because the elements, the design elements are there to use, they feel like they can use them and you can, change them up. So, I find it's trickier to stick to the brand style. But, look, I reckon, give it a go, like have a play around. I know you can do it for free. I think I've had to sign up because of, you know, being a business and whatever and giving access to other people. But, look, it's an interesting platform and lots and lots more people are using it. I guess it's the design tool for the non-designer.
Yeah.
So it's, and especially because you're very intuitive, you know, with design and software.
Yeah.
You'll
could
be surprised.
Could be interesting to look into.
Yeah. And I love the way that things are already templated in terms of sizes. Like you don't have to look up every, because, yeah, you know, when you look in your Adobe when you use your Adobe suite, you know, you basically have to know what the size that you're totally going to set up your page to.
Yeah.
Or your artboard or whatever it might be. So, yeah, look, it's worth exploring and looking into.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And when you start working on a branding brief, like do you have a special process in place or what you follow that, you know, over the years it's like kind of become your methodology?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's varied depending on the project. When we're talking about identity and branding, you know, we always have that sort of, I guess, discovery phase. It really depends on what the project lends itself to do. You know, and that initial discovery phase is where you might come in and help us in terms of the brand strategy, really understanding the target audience, competitor audit, you know, a bit of desk research, you know, insights and all that sort of stuff that comes up front when we're getting it really into a brand. We might do workshops or interviews, surveys. It really just depends on how best to extract that information. We then will look at the strategy side of things, as we've mentioned. But then when we start developing, I guess, the brand identity, we always start with creative concepts and we might develop one to two, sometimes three, very rarely three, because we kind of ends up being a mix of like one and two. But we always we'll always have two completely different, you know, brand identities. And what was really helpful with your project in particular was actually having a bit of a mood board, you know, and a feel for what you like. And that helps kind of almost give a scale of how far to push it, whether it's quite feminine or masculine or vibrant and energetic, or, you know, like it really helps just narrow down the options and get to the cut to the chase quicker.
Yeah.
So that was really helpful, having that Pinterest board, and I recommend that for anyone starting a brand, because there's so much out there. You don't know where to start. No, you don't know what you actually like, but at least if you start categorizing you start seeing patterns and what actually, what makes, you know, a brand that you like, you know.
100%. And I think most people, you know, like unless they work in the space, like they don't have an idea of, you know, what they visually would like their brand to look
until
like.
Until they see it.
Until they see it. So that's why I think a lot of the times we have this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But Pinterest is excellent for that, for anyone.
Yep.
You know, because you can literally type in keywords of, you know, your product or business, like whatever, or industry, and just get a feel for what's out there, what you like, and just start collecting it. And at least... that gives a direction.
Point.
And, you know, when you then brief a design agency, like you can give them a bit more direction for what you like, rather than just like, you know, we've all worked with those clients who say like, oh, you know, what, like whatever you think is right. And then they end up having very particular
tastes, and I think,
and they just don't know how to articulate it.
That's right. And I think that's the importance of what we do, is that everything's backed by an idea and it's backed by a strategy, which then enables a brand to be less subjective. I think that's the beauty of what, you know, we do, and ensuring that we've got an idea, and that, you know, when a brand is backed by a strategy,
it's tied together
and there's no... you know, it removes the subjectivity, because it basically is so robust.
That
you can't just say, well, I don't like that, but it talks back to strategy.
So, yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
So I think that's the beauty. It's not, that's why it's not, we don't just design pretty pictures. It's, you know, strategy backed.
I love that.
And that's, you know, super important. Creative concepts initially, we'll develop, you know, have some design development after that. So once we've presented our 2 to 3 concepts, you know, the client will give us some feedback and we'll address that feedback. Mm-hmm. We've never really had a job where we've had to redo, like, I think.
A full concept.
Never, yeah. Never. You know, I feel great. Like, yeah, we've been very lucky. And I think I say lucky, but it's obviously when we really understand a project and yeah. really understand a brand, that, you know, there's never really been a need to redo
yeah.
or do another concept yeah. because they might not like the two that yeah. we've presented. You know, I feel like there's always tweaks, and sometimes people don't know which way to go because you've given them two options and they're like, oh, I don't know which one to choose. Actually, I like both of them. So sometimes there are some elements that get borrowed from one that, you know, of the
concept
other.
Concept to the next, that's cool.
Yeah, so that often happens. But, yeah, essentially creative concepts, design development, and then we'll start the rollout. So that's where we kind of do more development and actual rollout, meaning key pieces are produced in full detail, whether it be a brochure or a website, you know, Instagram, you know, tiles, EDM design. So that's where actually things are produced.
Are produced and based on the new brand.
Yeah, exactly yeah. right. And then we'll artwork assets and all that sort of stuff.
When you say artwork, what does that actually mean?
Artwork. So artwork basically, you know, when you're creating a concept, it is just that. It's a concept. So things are not exactly perfect.
Okay.
So, you know, you might need to tweak tracking, which means the spacing between letters of a font. You might want to craft some letters in a font to make it more unique, especially if it's a logo. So, you know, or if you've drawn something by hand or in Illustrator in software, you might need to draw it so it has a perfect curve.
So it's all the details, yeah. like cleaning up all the little.
Exactly, making sure everything, like sometimes you might have a mix of outline, like lines and solid shapes. Mm-hmm. So in the program, you need to make sure that they are all just solid shapes. And then yeah. artworking them for various formats and colors. So you might have yeah. a light background, yeah. a dark background, you know, colored backgrounds, and depending on how many colors within the logo, you know, and then you produce the file for different formats. So, you know, there might be PNGs and, you know, JPEGs, yeah. and yeah. I know I'm getting into a lot of detail here. But,
oh, that's you know, super interesting. But, like, all the different all formats, the different like formats. You need yeah. for, like, website
exactly.
versus social media.
Versus designers, like, you know, who yeah, use yeah. Illustrator files. And
you know what, you like, know. I mean, everyone to their own, but I actually love Illustrator files because you can do anything with them, you know, like not just yeah. once again, like you shouldn't really have to change anything on the logo as such, but I yeah. just like to sometimes, you know, yeah, quickly yeah. change the color or like yeah. whatever. You
and
know,
Illustrator files, for those who people who don't know, but they basically enable you to, they're vector files, which mm-hmm. don't have pixels. So you can blow them up to as
print
big,
size,
yeah,
as big as you
huge
want.
As you want.
Yeah.
So they'll never lose quality.
That's right. And once you actually convert them into JPEG or PNG, that's when
they become pixels.
Pixels.
Exactly. And that's when things get, you know, pixelated when,
you know, don't save them
quality.
In the right specs.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and typically these days our screens are much bigger or they handle higher resolutions. So we are saving things in higher resolution and higher pixel dimensions, especially even online, for that high quality.
Yeah, but wow, what a, like it's looks like a lot of detail.
There is a lot of detail, and look, as a team we have different specialties, and that's why, you know, we're the creators and the designers that you know, develop those initial ideas, and we have you know, people who proofread and you know, check all the other detail of things, but also then there's the art workers who actually are the producers and the final outputters, if you like, of assets and artwork.
Interesting. That so that's a special job.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's things go to print or things go to online, and they make sure that, you know, those things are in the right file format. Exactly right. And there are a whole bunch of new softwares and things to use as well. Like, you know, I've been playing around with Figma more and more lately. I did a course actually last week. And that's a new piece of software online free that more and more people are using to design their websites and web-based.
And user journeys like UX-based design is quite popular for.
Yeah, and people are using Miro boards and things like that. So
yeah, we use it for one of my clients quite a bit. I like it.
Yeah, It seems like a fun kind of tool, and it's all very collaborative.
Totally, like you can comment. It's all live.
Yeah,
like it's you can see the other person designing.
Yeah, I love that.
Like while you give them feedback,
which is pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Scary for designers, however, at the same time, but. You're listening everything done live.
Like imagine. But, God.
You know, but
surely you can track the history of edits, hopefully.
Yeah, surely. But there's no hiding anymore. Like, you know, back in the day, you used to work in an office and you used to hate when people walked past your screen so that would see what you're designing and you're like, looking at it's not finished, you know.
And now once you share the file, everybody can look at it, you're doing in real time.
Absolutely.
Crazy. You're right. And I guess, like, if you think about the most iconic brands or the brands that you like the most or that you reference for your clients, which ones do you think, have nailed their branding?
I think there are a lot of brands out there that do a good job. And I think it's, you know, brands and businesses are seeing the importance of branding more and more. I still love Airbnb. Like, I love that brand. Amazon have done a great job. You know, there's obviously Tesla. Canva's done a great job with their own branding.
They did.
You know, so I feel like there are so many brands, big brands and small ones too. Like, you know, there are so many small brands.
I love
go-to
skincare.
Absolutely.
Like, I just really like the color palette,
and
like the consistency.
And she's got a great tone, and it reflects her personality in
100%.
The way that she speaks. And
totally.
I particularly love the go-to brand as well. It's such a good brand.
Like, it's got all the Frank Body as well. Mm. Like, there are some really funky, sassy beauty brands.
Because it's just like, because people, and that's the thing, like, how do you stand out in a marketplace that's so crowded and so competitive, you know? So, you know, tone of voice is super important with that sort of thing. And if you can put a smile in somebody's mind when they're reading a packet.
Especially when it's a face mask.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Zoe, if you're listening, we're more than happy to have you on the show.
Come on, join us.
And she's, you know, definitely a person that I aspire to. She's working mom and kicking ass.
Yeah, totally. Like, but there's like, she's probably not a small brand anymore.
Definitely
but like,
not.
I think, you know, when you can create something, that's a vibe more so than just a brand, like an energy that people connect with,
definitely.
You know, that buy into.
It's
that's
true.
A whole different ballgame.
It really is. And that's what Nike have done for so many years, even Adidas. Mm-hmm. Like, if you think of those sporting brands and what they do and how they, you know,
connecting community.
Really true. And then Nike have typically have done that very well. You know, even Airbnb, like, you know, they all do that. And it's, it's inspiring.
Yeah. And when it comes specifically to business names, that's what I've always been quite fascinated with.
Yes, how did you come up with your name?
Because, you know,
tricky,
like when I was coming up with my business, like, I struggled at first to find, it's really, really tough. And then you see some of, once again, the biggest brands in the world have sometimes most of the random names and you're like, how, why?
Yeah, it's true. I mean,
so what are your thoughts on
it's
that?
It's funny because when we think of names, I kind of think of them on a scale and categorize them. You know, there are acronyms, you know, people often have words that stand, you know, letters that stand for things. ABC, you know, Australian Broadcasting Association. You know, there's composite, which are two words that merge together to create one word, like FedEx or Netflix.
Netflix, that's right.
You know, they're two words combined that create a new word. You know, then you're going on the other opposite end of the scale, which are abstract words like Google, Uber. Uber kind of, because it kind of means something, but, you know, Uber, Google, Apple, like, you know, fairly abstract, being where they kind of sounds as well. But that's
what they do have in common. They're all pretty simple, though.
They are straightforward. And I think that probably came from the era where everything's taken as well. And how do we create something that nobody's ever heard of? And that, you know, almost like, I mean, you know, it's that word that becomes the category. You know, that's what they do.
That's what they,
you know, you Google it, you Uber. You know, so even when you take a taxi, you still Uber.
Yeah.
You know, like, Or even if you take one of the other ones that are not Uber, like you're still Ubering. But yeah, like I think that that's a side of, and then there are those just descriptive, you know, there are those that just say it as
what it is.
Mm-hmm. God, I can't think of off the top of my head right now, but cornflakes.
Yeah.
You know, they are what they are, you know. Yeah, so there's lots of, you know, different ways that you can categorize and come up with a name. But yeah, that's the fun process of developing a name. But then there's also the sort of more, you know, kind of logistical things.
Making sure that legally that you check all the boxes of checking whether, you know, there's a trademark on the name, whether the business name is actually available.
Absolutely.
In the business register. Yeah. That's the process that I've been going through over the last few days.
It's tricky. And, you know, but
because, you know, then finally you've come up with a name you like and then you deal with the stress of like, shit, is it actually available?
Absolutely.
Is there a trademark? Can I actually register the domain, or is the domain taken? Mm. Can I register on social media? Because social media is also, I feel like everything is taken.
Oh,
like everything
you could
ever
new.
Think of is already taken.
And that's why a lot of like companies are misspelling their names as well. Mm. So, you know, Fiverr.
What is that going to do to our language skills in the future?
It's true. People quickly learn, however, but... You know, like they are, you know, making up a lot more names. But, you know, there's those checks as well that we do that, you know, we know that one word names are shorter and more immediate. You know, how different is the name from the competitor space and the landscape? Mm-hmm. Does it even sit well in the market?
Mm-hmm.
You know, comprehension and pronunciation. Is the word easy to read? Is a word easy to say, you know, plosives, they're letters that have immediate sound and impact, like b, k, t, p, t. So they're those.
Interesting.
They're called plosives. You know, and when we're designing, you know, letter shapes can be visually appealing as a springboard for, you know, what the brand stands for. You know, there's certain letters that are more beautiful than others and certain letters that sit nicer together, you know, so it's just visually, you know, what looks good as a name. And then, you know, phonetics, is it easy to hear? And then finally, can you live with it? You know, do you like it? And how long can you live with it for? Like, you know, if you're going to say this name and, you know,
it's probably the
phone
one
check, like, hello, this is,
ideally.
You know,
yeah. Because you can, you know, I feel like brands, especially the established ones that have existed for so many years, like they go through brand iterations where they do, you know, evolve their brand identity over time. They might even change their logo or colors, but the name, I don't think I've really heard of anybody really, unless they change the whole business,
and it's very expensive, a lot of education, and there are a lot of implications that go into changing a name, you know, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But it is an important decision because you need to have the funds and the budget to back up, you know, the re-education of who you are and what you stand for. And, you know, there's got to be a good reason for changing your name, I guess, as well.
Well, yeah, that's super interesting. And when you think of, so let's say you've come up with the name and the concept and now you're picking the colors and the fonts, like...
Yeah.
Because I also think that there's like some theory as well that goes into that.
Yeah,
right? Like
absolutely.
You, when you, like, usually you have two fonts, like a hero font and then the pairing font, and there's some rules about like what works together and what not.
Yeah. And I think it really depends on the brand and what it says. And so choosing a font, you know, is very, you know, broad. In terms of there's no real hard and fast rules. I often will pair fonts because they're shapes, you know, if there's round shapes, you know. So there's a couple of different types of, you know, fonts, I guess, and main ones that people know of are serif and sans serif.
Yeah.
And serif are the ones with little feet, like Times New Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And sans serif are like your Arials. They're really round, very contemporary fonts. They're
very
a whole
legible,
bunch of
very
others.
Good for digital, like websites and stuff. Yeah.
However, in saying that, serif fonts back in the day, people would write novels with serif fonts mm-hmm. because they're easier to read.
Mm-hmm.
But digitally, they're not as easy to read.
Interesting.
But and also Google have a whole range of fonts that are available to people for free use.
Yeah, I guess amazing.
To download. But there's so many options out there these days. But, yeah, look, it just really depends what is right for the brand and what fonts pair well. I do try and have two fonts, and sometimes it might be like a headline font, like a really just really bold display face,
mm-hmm.
And then supported by a really nice, clear, contemporary body copy font.
Mm-hmm.
And you might use that in a couple of different ways. You might use small caps, or you might use it in bold for subheadings, and then, you know, in light for body copy. So it really just depends on how, you know, what you bring into the brand with fonts.
But one pattern I noticed is that it seems like many brands are always pairing a serif with a non-sans-serif font,
And there's also like variations of the sans serif called slab serif, and they're a little bit more chunky, thicker.
Is that what my hero font would be?
Yours is like more of a display face, I'd say, mm-hmm. like, as it's quite cursive, it's quite unique.
Yeah.
But then, yours is paired with Poppins, which is a really beautiful, rounded, super clear Google font, which will be super versatile for, all your applications. And it's just a nice, because it's not too kiddie, it's not too whimsical. It's really clear for all audiences as well. So, Very versatile, yeah. So you'll notice that you'll probably use your hero kind of logo font a little bit less. Because you'll probably feel like the other has more legibility.
Maybe for major headings.
And stuff like that. And, I feel like that you'll use it more. But it's a beautiful font regardless. Both of them are cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get into colours, and I guess colour, meaning and sight can be really important, especially in various industries. There are meanings that are attached to colour, but they can also be fairly subjective. Some people just may not like orange, So I'm talking about Kelly, who used to work with us. She just hated orange, I always just think of her when I
she would never orange. Come she up with never, no, orange she color hated palette. Orange. That's hilarious.
And she's like, why have you put orange in this palette? Meaning is important.
It is subjective. You are right.
Absolutely. But, colours have the power to evoke emotions and convey different messages.
And also being a point of difference to stand out in a category,
Definitely. They do play a significant part in shaping a brand's identity and influencing how it's perceived. It's worth noting that, when colours can evoke those sort of emotions, individual experiences and cultural backgrounds can influence how people interpret and respond to those colours as well.
That is very true.
So,
So red, for instance, in China has this like whole different meaning of prosperity and Chinese New Year. It's we could give many different examples of how colours are interpreted differently in cultures.
Absolutely. But it's and some are bad
to
luck.
Be mindful.
And I think it is in the Chinese culture as well that black is actually it's unlucky.
Oh, okay.
And gold is, a great color.
Once again, goes to show the importance of understanding, your market, who are you talking
Absolutely.
To? Because that will then determine, if you're speaking to an international audience, I don't know, Chinese business owners, probably won't pick the same colors.
Yeah, that's very true. And then there's also the factor about accessibility. And ensuring that there's enough contrast we ensure that colours are legible on screen for the visually impaired. There's
that's
lots.
Very true.
And there's a lot
it's
of there's,
be more
there's,
inclusive.
Yeah, absolutely. There are certain pieces of software online that you can actually check to make sure that it's compliant.
Oh, wow. That's really, I'm so in awe of all the resources that we have these days. I feel like I'm
amazing.
Constantly, trying new technology every day, and still I'm mind blown about everything.
It is mind blowing.
Even with the AI these days.
It is mind blowing.
Almost scary.
I guess everyone's talking about that at the moment.
It's a bit of a hype, isn't it?
At the moment, yeah. Mm. And scary at the same time, but
yeah.
Maybe for your jobs.
we could get an AI expert. That would be interesting.
Absolutely.
So to finish off this conversation, you know, for people like me who are just starting out with their business, like what are the quick wins or must-haves that we can do in terms of branding without breaking the bank?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I do think that you don't have to go overboard. I think just having, firstly, just making a start.
Yeah.
And secondly, using the tools that are available to us, you know, use Canva.
Yeah.
Use Squarespace, you know, and you know, get professional help like us, you know, when you need it. But, you know, when, you know, we hand over those elements, just have a go at playing around with those, you know, those soft pieces of software to create certain things that you might need quickly. You know, tiles and things that you can create yourself. Like everyone can be a designer, you know, and once you have that sort of, you know, foundation to start with, you know, you know, obviously you're very, you know, savvy yourself. So, but I do think that you don't have to go overboard. Just start with those key touch points and get those right first and then start to expand. Don't feel like you've got to have it all to start with.
Yeah. That's really good advice because it can be quite overwhelming, right?
And do a couple of things well, you know. Yeah, I think that's the main thing.
And consistency.
Just be consistent.
Yeah, be consistent.
That's very important. And follow some sort of guides. And, you know, if you're unsure, ask the question. You know, there's always people around to help.
Even Facebook groups, like there's heaps of, like, resources where finders fee on Facebook or other like like-minded bitches drinking wine. I think is a popular one, like where you can ask those questions and people, there's always people are willing to help. I found like
absolutely.
That's actually quite encouraging.
And I think I know it's business stuff 101, but it is like, you know, initially, you know, defining your own vision, defining your mission and your values yourself will just help you really clarify and define what your offering is and where you want to be.
100%, because that also like helps you make decisions when it comes to product development, like from the packaging you choose to the fabric or like whatever that your product is, or like, you know, is, for instance, sustainability one of your core values?
Absolutely.
You're going to make very different choices in terms
definitely
of like the materials you pick.
100%.
And you might
and suppliers.
And you might not be willing to compromise on price. Therefore, your product becomes premium, but you're meeting that sustainability 100%. Stamp, right?
Yeah.
So it all comes down to that. Like really,
totally.
Like, so.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Got to think of, be clear on that for sure. Well, thank you so much. It was so insightful.
Yeah, no, it's like really fun. I feel like I've had
into your head, you know?
Yeah, there's been a lot of words and lots of experience over time. But there's so much to know. And I mean, I'm passionate about branding and I love, you know, the feeling of especially, you know, creating a brand that you can light up someone's day and life with.
I seriously had goosebumps and almost like little tears in my eyes when you first read the manifesto. Like I was like,
so
oh
special.
My God, I come. You know, but it's also like when you have an idea and you tell someone else and you hope that they get your idea, but it's not, I feel like with my business as well, it's not that obvious, you know, it's a bit more conceptual.
Yeah,
like,
that's right. It's not a tangible thing
right
now.
That's right. So I was like, oh. I'm not sure. And then, you know, just like hearing that you not only got it, but you were able to express it in this way, like, it was so amazing.
And it probably helped that I know you as well, clearly. So obviously it helped me get there quicker. But, you know, it was a really fun one to work on. And, you know, I love, you know, the idea of it and Vanessa will share more soon. You know, I think, it's got lots of legs and you know, when a brand works, when you see the potential that it has.
I think that's also part of your process. You would feel like get a feel for
you know
that,
it.
Right?
You know what works. And that happens because, you know, we during our process is during that creative concept stage is we test
stress
the brand.
Test,
we stress test the brand on multiple touch points.
Yeah.
You know, a website, an Instagram page, you know, an EDM, a poster, you know, a brochure or whatever it might be, merchandise, you know, to see what does that, you know, brand expression look like on other touch points.
No, I can't wait for mine to come to life over the next few months. And
so exciting.
Just happy to be sharing that with you all and taking you on this journey.
No, it's very exciting. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and listening to our branding 101.
Yeah, maybe, you know, it inspired you to create your own.
Yeah, hopefully.
Or even just like, you know, for this podcast, for instance, we also created our little identity.
We did.
Well, you did.
No.
You did.
And we both love the colour coral.
Sorry. So it had to coral be it. And I thought the green was such a nice pairing.
I do love pink and green or a coral and green. Yeah.
Anyway, so it did help that you know, obviously you bring all that knowledge, which is great. But yeah, like you don't have to launch a business to create like some sort of, you know, brand identity or like look and feel. You can even be a personal project or
absolutely.
Whatever.
Absolutely. And people are working on their own personal brands these days.
Totally. It's becoming more and more
a thing.
A thing. Totally. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you. We'll see you next
week. It was very nice to see you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you, Lily. Bye.